Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Today on a disturbing episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, just how much influence can the world of the supernatural have on our souls? One person learned firsthand just how dark, disturbing, and powerful these forces can be as they discovered one of their friends, while in a very dark place, made the unreversible decision of taking their own life, all while believing his soul would be a gift to the devil himself. The story, and much more today, on a very dark episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us. If you like the program, become an extra podcast person. That's an EPP, as we call them. There you get access to all of our bonus episodes, almost 400 of them now. You also get access to our full audio archive of ghost stories, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. All of it commercial-free. You can binge away on it at your leisure, and it will take you probably several years. So there's that much there for you. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And I should say this, I'm on Cameo now too, which is kind of interesting and neat. So if you want me to, say something, do a greeting, do a birthday wish, do a this, or just say, send the text, to somebody with me on it and surprise them or yourself, or ask me anything. You can do that on there too. Check it out. And Cameo, just search for Tony Bruschi or Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm sure you'll find me either way. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
Well, I can't wait till my birthday comes around and then I buy me a Cameo.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing.
I'm like, that was worth $2.75.
Totally. 100% worth it. But no,
are you going to charge me or would you just wish me a happy birthday?
Fuck no. If you want a happy birthday, it's going to cost you. I mean, I don't do that for just anybody. Trust me. My daughter, she wants it. Like, oh, Dad, it's my birthday. Did you get me a cake?
Honey,
no.
Honey,
but, you know,
Cameo.
If you want me to say happy birthday, you know where to find me on Cameo. You get a phone now and I'm busy. What a horrible
I will give you life lessons. Yeah. I will help you with math or anything else, but I'm not wishing you happy birthday or anything.
We're
like
not
that.
Doing those celebratory.
You should be paying for.
No. If there's something I can't, the law says I have to like help educate you and feed you. I'll do those things. But you want me to say something nice on your birthday?
Yeah.
Pony up the allowance money, sister.
Well, I think a Cameo is a really fun idea, though.
It is.
Because, like, I know when you got one from Chris Hansen.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
It was good.
It's just a great idea. And so it's like, it does make a fun birthday present, and they're affordable.
Yeah.
And it's a fun little gift that you get for someone who's like a big fan of the show.
Yeah, it's neat. It's just, it's fun. I still have my Chris Hansen one. I show it off sometimes. I'm like look at this.
Cool.
And people are like, what's To Catch a Predator? I'm like, you don't remember binging To Catch a Predator in 2002? They're like, no, I had a life. I'm like, oh, I didn't.
Most of those people are like, I was busy raising children who had time for that.
And it's kind of awkward after that. It's like, yeah, okay, well.
Well, remember, like, guys were, like, trying to go with, you know, get young girls on the internet and stuff? Like, and you found that entertaining? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I know. It's just funny. But anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to a call to start off the program this evening. making noises. Here's a call.
My name is Susan. I live in Arizona. I've called before, but I'm calling now because I did go on an actual ghost hunt last night with a group of ghost hunters at a place called the Sunkist Production Factory. It no longer is in use. It's located in Mesa, Arizona. But they did a ghost hunt last night. And I'm a very sensitive, empath, psychic person. And I didn't see anything right away. But they told the story of a woman that actually she died there. And for some reason, she clung to me, and I felt her anger, and I felt her to the point where she was telling me her story, saying to me that she was sexually assaulted by the boss of that plant, and that he murdered her, and he made it look like it was an accident. And I could feel her anger and her rage to such a degree that I literally had to leave the plant, go outside the plant to get air, because she was very angry at this person who took her life. And she hates men. And I believe she hates men not only because of what the boss did, but also because this is a plant where they hired illegal immigrants. And of course, these illegal immigrants, of course, would be scared to lose their job, would be scared to report anything because they would not want to be deported. So they kept their mouth shut. So I think she's angry. I got the sense that she's angry at them because they did nothing, even after her death, to avenge her rape and murder. And it really left me really upset, shaken. I couldn't drive home. My husband had to drive home. It was awful. They can't, according to them, they can't find a lot of the paperwork to this place. You know, of all the murderers, the deaths, whatever, they're having a hard time finding this paperwork. And their excuse, they said that the people that owned this plant at one time gave this paperwork to some student at ASU, and this ASU student never brought it back to them, which I know without a doubt is BS. And I know they're going to have a horrible, hard, if impossible time finding the truth behind this. But I felt her. In fact, on the way home, we made a quick stop at a grocery store by a candy bar, and the car went off. The lights went off. The horns went off. Everything. There was nothing. My car has never done this before, and yet I just opened my car door and the alarm went off, the lights went off, everything. When we finally got it to stop, we drove home. And no sooner did we get home, I just opened up the door again, get out of the car to open up the garage door, and the car went off again, and the alarms went off, and it was like if something followed us home, even though I had them put sage around me and my husband, it felt like something still came with us. So I'm really trying to figure out what's going on, but something's going on.
Thoughts on all of that?
I don't know. Because it's like, you think maybe that's just a coincidence her car did that. But it is interesting that it never done anything like that before. And then she has an experience like that. And it does it not once, but twice. Because that would be weird. Like, my car's never done anything like that before. Mm-hmm. And then if I'd gone and I'd had that kind of experience.
Yeah.
Which was a really intense kind of experience where you get this feeling like this intense behind the scene information.
I know.
That is pretty horrific at that.
Yeah.
And so obviously, you know, I don't know. I think to me, you know, I could see like I'd be the type of person that I could see having that kind of experience because I am very empathetic.
Yeah.
But I'm also not the person who would go in there. So,
sure.
Because I don't want to have an experience like that.
Yeah.
But I could see how someone could.
Yeah.
And I think that would be, that's the kind that scares me because I always think then it does it leave with you?
Uh-huh.
You know, if it opened up enough that you find this inside information out.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
It was so much emotion on this whole thing. You could hear it in her voice, just how much she was affected by the story itself. And yeah. I mean, it was just very, very intense all around. So, I mean, I think that can lead to a lot of things happening, whether it be just the way that she absorbed all that, the way that she did. Just that energy causing something? Is it something else it's following? I don't know, but
because it is a different sort of you didn't just see a spirit or you felt it, like it came, like you got you knowledge
into your head, and knowledge, you know? and almost taking on all of those emotions as well that that person went
through. She had to
go
outside, like she had to leave the facility. Yeah.
It's one of those, I mean, the way that you can try and understand it is if you've ever just been in a situation where suddenly you're like, oh my God, it could be any emotion. Like, I don't know why I'm like, I'm so happy all of a sudden. Or, oh my God, I'm like really depressed. Like, I really feel bad. I don't know why, but suddenly, you know, sometimes you get those moments. And it's like that, I think, times 10 for something like that in a situation here where suddenly it's like, you're not just feeling, you're feeling the intensity of an entire array of emotions that somebody went through and you just got blasted with all of it at once. And you don't know why you're feeling these things this way or that way. And you're just trying to work it out going, what is this? And that's, I think that can be terrifying, or can just, if it's something that you're, you know, somewhat used to experiencing, draining, you know, to say the least.
I could see, I mean, it makes sense how something like that could happen. You know, if a horrific event happened in a place like that and there was no record of it, or, you know, they tried to cover it up or whatever. And then you go and visit a place like that and that comes to you.
And I think some people,
that's pretty intense.
I think some people can absorb it, and some people are like sponges where it's just like everything is there. I think some people are kind of like scrubbies where it's like, I can kind of tell that something happened here. And then some people are just the rubber gloves and they're like, nothing's happened. I don't know what the hell it is. But
I swear that was my friend Lynn for the longest time. It was like, I don't feel anything. I'm like, how do you not feel that?
Yeah.
What is it that you're feeling? And then because we're in Rome. And then I remember we went one place and she comes walking over to me because we're a little ways away. But it's like a very, very old Roman kind of, it was underground and it was And we were the only ones down there.
Yeah.
And she's like, did you feel that? And I'm like, what did you feel? I don't know. My heart, it's like racing really bad. Or is your heart racing really bad? I'm like, not right now, but it was.
Yeah.
But I just think it's just some people, I don't think they can get to.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's intense. To me, that would be enough to scare me from ever wanting to do anything like that again.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Because it's like, did you take it home? Like, you got all the way home and your car did that again?
Yeah.
I don't know. No. Creepy one.
Totally. Totally. Let's go to our next story. Again, 855-853-4802. If you want to call in your story 24/7 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our next one. It says, hello. I recently started listening to your podcast and have really enjoyed hearing everyone's stories so far. I have a ridiculous number of stories since I've been experiencing the paranormal frequently since I was 8 years old. I had a tough time deciding which story I wanted to share first. Unfortunately, most of my encounters have been with what I would consider demonic. However, I do have some positive experiences too. I haven't really heard any stories of synchronicity on your podcast yet, so I thought I would share an experience where things lined up in a way that simply could not be coincidence. I was a first-year student in college, living in a new town away from family and everyone that I knew for the first time. By this time, I had a chance to make friends, but had yet to forge any deep connections. One night while sleeping, I shot out of bed with a feeling of absolute dread, knowing that one of my friends was dead, but I did not know who. I sense when people I am close to are in danger, hurt, or dead, but that story is for another time. My roommate was awake when I did this and asked if I was okay. I explained to her that I was afraid one of my friends had killed themselves. She, not knowing me well enough yet, brushed it off as a nightmare. That morning, I got the call from a friend telling me that a friend of ours had shot himself that night. In the last few years, I'd gone through some serious emotions due to a shooting that a friend's boyfriend had committed and a string of suicides with a group of friends, which they had called a suicide cluster. So, although I wasn't surprised by the news, I was deeply saddened. Since there was no one I really felt comfortable talking to about it, I found another way to soothe myself. Got into my car and randomly started driving. The town I went to school in was exceedingly small. You could drive from one end of that town to the other in 15 minutes. So I quickly found myself driving on gravel country roads with nothing but cornfields on either side. I eventually found myself at a dead end. Parked my car, and I got out. Once I was out of my car, I spotted a small foot trail. Began trudging down the path, led under an interstate bridge, and a little further to a wooden bridge crossing a creek. To the right of me was a steep incline. At the bottom of the hill, I saw a cross erected with a wooden bench sitting behind it. I walked down the hill and sat down on the bench and began to think about how utterly alone I felt, how hopeless I just kept losing people I love to their own hands, how much I was going to miss that goofy kid. I began to sob, and it was then I noticed a Tupperware box sitting underneath the bench. Pulled it out, opened it to find it filled with handwritten letters. I began to read these letters, and to my amazement, each one was like the author had seen straight into my heart at the exact moment. While reading these letters, I learned that a kid several years before had hung himself at the side I was sitting near. All the letters were from family and friends who had loved and missed him, writing to him in hopes his soul would catch their words. I knew how they felt. I knew how I felt. And suddenly I knew I was not alone. I did not have to push through this heartache alone. I pulled a sheet of paper out of my small notebook I carried in my purse to leave a letter as well. I explained who I was and why I was there. I apologized for the intrusion and expressed my sincere sympathy as well as gratitude, for I left that place with far more hope than I had come with. Later on, I met a lady who had known the kid who had killed himself there. She told me that he was unwell and believed the devil and God were at war with each other and sacrificed himself to aid the devil. I'm not sure if this is true, though. I'm not sure if I believe in God and the devil in this way, but I do believe that the universe requires balance. Somehow, it found a way to bring me to the side of something tragic and turn into light. Thanks for sharing your story. What's your thoughts on that one?
That was interesting because as you're reading that story, I'm like, I can't even imagine because, you know, if you've had several friends that have done that, I just can't.
Yeah.
Because that's, there's just so many questions.
Sure.
And the fact that, and so I get like, I need to go drive. I need to, you know, I get all that. But I just think it's very interesting that he or she ended up exactly where they needed to be and needed to find that. And because something tragic happened there. So that was probably the friends and family's way of going there and finding some peace and saying what they needed to say.
Yeah.
Which was everything she needed to hear or he needed to hear.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
That's really cool, actually. And I like that whole idea of putting the bench and the cross where something tragic happened. And I like that idea of like writing down your thoughts and leaving them there. But, you know, normally you'd write them down and you burn them or you write them down and you'd throw it into whatever.
Yeah.
But the fact that they kept them in Tupperware so other people could read them is a really great idea that little did they know, like it would be really interesting to be able to find those people and tell them like what you did really mattered. And it helped somebody else.
And I've seen them people do things like that where they write something and then they burn the letter rather than Tupperware. But Tupperware is another way of doing it. It's, you know, it's putting it in a specific spot.
And by doing that, somebody else, you know, another friend goes to that spot and they can write something and put it in there and read what other people say.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to sign it. You just get kind of that collective feeling. That's just a really, whoever did that, that was a really great idea. But the fact that a random person, when they really, really needed it, stumbled upon it, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's like just that's there for the right person at the right time.
Yep.
And
yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I love it. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And we got an audio file here that was sent in. Hi.
Hi, Tony, Harper, Todd, and Carol. This is Corey from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I found your podcast, probably back in July of 2020. So, while I was working, I was looking for something creepy to listen to, and I kind of came across your guys' podcast and fell in love with it. I think I became an EPP member within a month or two of listening. And, you know, I just had to get into those, the goodness of those EPP episodes. I didn't go back to the normal episodes, but I actually started from EPP episode 1, and I'm caught up all the way to EPP episode 390 now. To my story, I've never really had anything personally happen to me, but my family has. The story that I heard is this is either back in the late 70s, early 80s. It was before I was born. I was born in 85, so it's probably somewhere between 78 and 84. My parents and my brothers were living in a place that all of a sudden, it's like they never had any activity, but then they started almost getting what I guess would be poltergeist activity, where all of a sudden in the middle of the night, they would hear footsteps going up the stairs. There would be cupboards in the kitchen opening and closing, a typewriter, typing at night. I don't think they ever put a piece of paper in there. That would have been interesting to see if it said anything. But they couldn't figure out what was going on. And so the only thing that they could think of that they had brought into the house at the time was a plant that my aunt had given them. And what I'm led to understood at the time is that my aunt was part of, they made it sound like she was into kind of a, I don't know if a biker gang would be the right thing, but you know, she was in with a biker crowd. I'm not making any assumptions or anything, but that's kind of how they said it. And that's the only thing they could think of. So they're like, let's get this thing out of the house. And this is in, so they just kind of put it out in front of the house. And this is like in the middle of winter in Red Deer, Alberta, which is only about an hour and a half from Calgary. And I don't know if you know anything about our winters here, but we usually hit anywhere from, our winters are usually anywhere from minus 15 Celsius to, we've hit as low as minus 50 Celsius. So it gets damn cold. And from what I've been told is they left that thing out there and that plant wouldn't die. So that's kind of what I was told about that. Just some freaky stuff. So I've never had anything personally happen to me, but 2 years ago, back in July of 2019, we actually lost my mom and we had her cremated. And one of the things that we did is the funeral home offered, they're called keepsakes, where it's like, so somebody gets the big urn of ashes, but then you can buy these keepsakes that has like a, I think it's like a tablespoon of ashes in them. So they're like different shapes, like usually like hearts and stuff. So the one I have is a heart. I think the one that my brother has is a teardrop. And I can't remember what my oldest brother and my young sister has. But anyways, my brother, what he did is he bought a shadow box. He put the program for my mom's wake in there in the back. I think it had a couple pictures, and he put his keepsake in there, and he put an LED light in there so that it could shine, and it's, you know, one of the different color ones. And so this is an enclosed box that, you know, you have to actually either open it to turn this light on or use the remote. And my brother lives by himself. So he was saying that he'd come home from work some days and this LED light would be on, and it would be on purple, which was mom's favorite color. And so he was a little weirded out. So he would shut the light off, and sure enough, the next day or two, he'd come home from work and it'd be on again. So he's telling all this to us, and my sister started saying that they would have a hall light go off in their house. It's one of the sensored night lights, so it only turns on if something walks past it, that would randomly go on in the middle of the night. And so my brother and sister were concluding that they think that when mom's around, she uses lights to communicate. Like I said, I haven't had anything happen to me. Me or my wife haven't. And I mean, she even lost her dad before my mom passed. And, you know, we've never experienced anything. We consider ourselves quite open to that. Like, we're not closed-minded. We believe in all that. I mean, that's half the reason we listen to the podcast. So I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting story and was kind of interested to see what your guys' thoughts were. And I guess I'll leave with this. The stack is back.
That indeed he is. The stack.
I had to
is
think about
back.
That for just a second. I'm like, the stack. Oh,
Robert.
The stack.
Yep.
That's
without.
I laughed
doubt.
So loud I woke my dog up, which is really kind of funny because he's very hard of hearing.
Yeah.
Come here. You know, I think that's interesting. Like, we've talked about, you know, I think everybody wants that kind of hit you over the head sign from your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And take it. Buddy's like, I need a treat, but do I want it? There, take it. But those are the kind of signs that I think are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that it's subtle, but absolutely could be a sign from your mom.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And what up with a plant that wouldn't die?
That is interesting. Yeah.
Because it would get really, really cold up there.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, it's just kind of, you don't know the answers to, but you kind of have those inklings or those ideas of what may be causing it, but yeah.
Well, they're getting weird activity, so it's like the plant. And then you put the plant outside, and the plant should have died pretty much overnight.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe it was big. Maybe it would take, like, 2 or 3 days. But it should have frozen. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it didn't is interesting to me.
Yeah. That is, because, I mean, how do you... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you would actually do that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And since we're speaking of Robert, I think Robert,
you got something to say?
He saw the Super Bowl the other night. And I think he was, you know, kind of wants to get into it a little bit. So just give me one sec. And
he got some Snoop Dogg stuff he wants to say.
You're jumping like ahead of me here. And, you know, let's see here. I think we need the appropriate music for it. So
the stack is back.
Yeah. So here we go. By the karaoke version of this. California love. Okay. Robert, it's all you.
The stack is back, bitches. Now let me welcome everybody to the wild, wild west. A state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. The track hits your eardrum like a slap to your chest. Pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex. We in that sunshine state where the bomb-ass hemp be. The state where you never find a dance floor empty. And Pence be on a mission for them greeds. Lean, mean money-making machines serving fiends. I've been in the game for 10 years mackin' rap tunes. Ever since Honeys was wearing Sassoon. Now it's 95 and they clock me and watch me. Diamonds shining. Looking like I robbed liberties. It's all good. From Diego to the Bay. Your city is the bomb if your city Mac can pay. Throw up a finger if you feel the same way. Dre putting it down for California. California knows how to party. California knows how to party. In the city of Lamp. In the city of Goodall Watts. In the city of Compton. They keep it rocking. They keep it rocking.
That's the best thing.
It's keeping it real, bitches.
So. That was funny. And like, because I know you don't listen to these episodes like these. You never read a story or listen to the audio all the way through.
No.
So there's no way that you knew that the guy was going to say the stack is back. And then he starts off like, didn't he start off the stack is back?
Yeah, because initially I just typed that. And then in my mind, I'm like, ooh, wouldn't it be funny if Robert Stack started like quoting songs from the Super Bowl? And so I like just copied and pasted the lyrics to California Love and then generated Robert Stack. But yeah, he starts out with, let's turn off the karaoke track here. Hang on. But yeah, the, here we go. Yeah, it's,
the stack is back, bitches. Now let me.
That cracks me up.
Stack is back, bitches. So there you go. The only paranormal show you're going to hear doing this sort of shit. I'll tell you that much. It's like everybody's going, what did we do in this investigation? Welcome to this show, kids. This is what we do. Like, more paranormal story. Like, we do, but we're also going to have Robert Stack quote California Love. So, only here. It's crazy going on almost 9 years now of this thing. So, all right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all of it's commercial free. The ebook, the audiobook, you get all of it. Check it out. We greatly appreciate that. With new bonus episodes every single week, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.